Tosfos read. What's that?
Well, if you actually look in the letters to the editor.
Okay, who's going to hold him down while I hit him? That's what I want to know.
Somebody calls one of the Tosfos a conservative. Capital
C?
He's talking about Maim Achronim, where.
Yes. Oh,
of course.
So he said, you know, Tosfos said that, you know, since there's no melt stone anymore, you don't have to do it. It seems to me that Tosfos is taking a very conservative
position. Okay. Anyway, so what does the Tosfos Rid say? May I have a volunteer who wants to read clearly and lucidly? Eyal. Okay. I also want to, along with that, I want to have someone who will pick on him when he misreads. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Go ahead. One.
I was kidding, yes. I was kidding. We're with spoiling, but no. Go ahead. Kikamarav. Okay, so notice what he was really bothered by. It's an interesting question. It's an easy answer to the question, I think. What's his question? What was he bothered by? This is almost peripheral, because this is really all a long segue into the last part. Okay, so there are two answers one might give for that, which are one answer really, and one answer for the moment.
It goes by when the hue was hal, and not by the time that you were hal before.
What meaning? When is the hue of hal?
When the bait and bait.
Psakdim. Okay, so that's a simple answer that. The chiyuv goes by the psak din, not by the maisa hamachayev. Okay? But he wasn't happy. Teiratzdi. The hachinami. He takes out the haim, at least in this. Basically, what you say is Harei Shalcha Lefanecha by Kefel, just like you do by Gezela. And that's why when Tavach Le, you pay now. So he says now, but that is, as he is about to say, is a bad comparison. Why is it a bad comparison?
It's not there anymore. In one case, you're paying
now. No, it's by the Kefel case. Is it there still?
No.
And what about by the Gezela case? In order to say Harei Shalcha Lefanecha by Gzela, you have to have the object be'en. Notice he seemed to have worked, and he's going to spell this out later, he seemed to have worked with this, what he thinks later to be a ridiculous notion, that if I steal a cow from you, and now cows depreciate, but I kill your cow, you know what I can do to pay you back?
Buy a cow.
Now there is a line in the Gemara, when read kifshuto, does sound like that. What line is that, Yehuda? I'm sorry? Acheret. The Gemara says that if he paid back two, so chay l'shalim lo acheres. Maybe the exact language, but you have to pay back acheres. You can't answer this because you heard it. What should the Gemara have said according to our understanding of halacha? Thank you, Eyal. Ha acheres. That's, you know, Lahid language. That's a good reason they exempt it. It should have said ha'acheres, because it's not enough to pay back, you know, go find another bunch of vegetables, another aguda vegetables in the shuk. You know, here's one, you know, and pay the money. You have to pay back the one you stole. It should have said ha'acheres. Yishan la'acheres means, you pay me another one. I stole your cow, I owe you a cow. Here's a cow of the same quality as before. Right. But now a cow only costs $1, and then it was worth $4. So I give you a cow back. Right. It sounded like, you know, where do we see, by the way? Now I realize there's another place we saw such a shita almost. Yehuda? Before that, where did we see a shita? I mentioned it in passing when we read through the next two blot. It was shitas Rashi. Anyone remember where it was? Tla'im kidemei kara damim shalashav. That's very much, it's almost, it's a little like that. Right? In other words, if I pay you in tla'im, then I can pay you whatever it is. I mean, it's not the same thing, but it's, you know, even though the calf became a cow and I slaughtered it, but if I pay you back in the currency of cows, I can pay you five calves. But if I pay you cash, then I have to pay the value of five cows. So Rashi, that sounds like the Gemara answers. I don't quite understand why, but that's sort of similar to this notion that, in other words, I can either pay back the value or I can pay back the item. You know, and items are interchangeable. So all the Rishonim reject what the simple reading of that Gemara, I didn't check Kisvayad, but reject the simple reading, and it may have been, you know, it was just the Rid himself rejects it. But if you look at the Tosus Alatar, Tosus immediately says that it's Yishalim Lo Ha'acheres. I mean, he doesn't address the grammatical point, but that's the way he reads it. Why? Because I'm not paying back what I stole. But why should it matter whether you pay cash or not? No, but so is the cow different. If it's not the original cow,
no,
I'm not...
It's just the worth of the cow. The cow is the same. You stole a cow, you're giving back a cow.
Okay.
I mean,
it sounds nice when you formulate it in language, but when you think about it conceptually, it doesn't make any sense. Because the fact is, I could also pay you back in sheep and in goats and in chickens, right?
No, but then you're talking about worth. You're not talking about
worth. But when you pay back a cow, you're also talking about worth. Because would you say...
Why can't you say you pay back a cow that's worth the same amount that that was worth? A different...
But it's not worth, that's the point. The claim most Rishonim hold is you'd have to pay back four cows, so the cash value of the four cows will be equal to what was the cash value of the one cow. I mean, Eyal, would you say that if I stole a cow from you, I can now pay you back a shvacha cow, negidim? Negidim is that lashon of, and if the Bavli has it, it's in the Chilta. It's a Bavli. Negidim means by weak, sick animals or something like that, right? So would you say I could pay you back a shvacha animal? In other words, let's say I stole the brown cow. Can I pay you back with a black cow? See, when you return the cow, so you can say it's identical in essence in all respects to the cow I stole. But if I give you a different cow, well, that one's, you know, Chaim, what's the Latin name for the cow? Something bovis. Okay, sorry, never mind.
No, that's just the genus.
Okay, so we'll call him Bova Bovis, okay, the cow, right? So I pay you back another Bova Bovis. That's very nice. But so is that sufficient? Well, you would agree that I can't pay a weaker cow. Okay, so fine. I mean, it's one of those interesting questions, you know, on Yom Kippur. It's always in Yonah Diyoma, right? What is the rule about the Shnei Asirim?
Have to be alike.
Shavim Bekome Avamare Ovedamim. Have to be the same, not alike, the same. So damim I understand, okay? Damim I understand. You see, pay the same amount to them. Koma I sort of understand because, you know, even though you could reduce the measurements to the finest of points, you know, at a certain point, you basically say they're both 48 inches tall at the shoulder. But what about mara? You need identical twins?
Yeah.
The Gemara never assumes you need. I don't know since you need identical twins. Right. So in the days before Dali. When you couldn't have a clone, what does it mean, Shavim Bemara? How same is the same?
Maybe so you can't tell the
black. What about what about the length of its tail? What about the color of its hooves? What about the width of its nose? What? The shades. No, my point is, what does it mean, Shavim? You know, does it mean that you have? Do you mean that you bring in your, you know, growing up around cows doesn't always mean anything? I told you once I had this machlokas with a student in intro whether or not cows, females, have horns. Were you there on me for it? No.
You told us, it's a good picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I took the pictures.
2 years ago this fall?
This 2 years in the semester?
I mean, last fall, 2005?
No, I think it was before that.
Okay,
so I remember having this on. The kid was from Wisconsin. He's from Wisconsin. So I figured he grew up, you know, around, you know, dairy farms. He insisted that cows, you know, female cows do not have horns. So the fact that you live around cows doesn't mean, you know anything about them. But you take a guy who doesn't live around cows, and you show him two cows. You know, can you tell the difference between these two cows? And if you can't really tell the difference, you know, it's sort of like there's a Hasidic trick in one of these lineups that some guy tried mugging a Hasidic person, and the whole crowd got up and beat him up. And then the guy tried to get him arrested, so they arrested a few suspects. And then the defense attorney's ploy was in order to show they really couldn't identify them is he brought in a whole crowd of Hasidim into the courtroom and then mixed these guys in and said, can you identify them? And of course he couldn't. It's true, by the way. And if you look at it, it takes time to adjust to be able to see the species. You know, this species. To see within groupings of people, when you have animals there...
More sapiens, sapiens, sapiens.
What's
sapiens,
that?
Sapiens, sapiens. You're not helping.
When you have animals there, you have to. Okay, so now that the good humor is up, you understand. Whenever you're talking about people or animals that look alike, it's often if you're in your own grouping, you can tell the difference. Probably, you know, you're anti-Semite in wherever, he probably could look at half of us. I mean, probably not, but if we cut our hairs the same way and we dress the same way, he'd think we all look like you know hook-nosed Jews or something like that, and. You guys looking at each other. So anyway, so I think that's true with animals also. So I don't know if show them, but you understand my point, right? In other words, I don't think you can say they're the same just because he's a cow, she's a cow, and therefore it's the same thing. All right. So anyway, the Rid. So the Rid didn't understand. So the Rid had this funny hava. I mean, he couldn't reject it, even though the Gemara's language without the hey hayidiyah does sound like his hava. I mean, he rejects it. So he continues. Anonymously. Okay. Fine. Rahachi mashma. Well, my ditznan. It's probably Bahalacha, maybe a Brisa. Oh, you know what? I'll tell you what. It's Bahalacha. Or behilchas ganavatam yom kippur means in that pisca of the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara says there. Behatanya.
Rabbi Meir Savar like Rabbi Yaakov, Savar like Rabbi Shimon, Savar like Rabbi Yaakov, Damar, Af Mishini Gemar Dino, have zero Shomel Bala Musar. The Savar like Rabbi Shimon, the non Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kochim Shechayab Bachwayutan Chayab. Alma Davar Gerem the Mamon Kamon Dami, Lamadimi Khan Shabbat, Pisha in a short of it, Pisha Jane Omer Harishon Shantal on Nefa, Mimino Bain,
Okay, just to explain what that case was very briefly. So if you steal a shor haniskal and you're toveach, so the brisa says you pay the albahe. So the question is, but a shor haniskal isn't worth anything.
You said it was worth
anything. No, if you sell it to a goy, but generally we assume a shor haniskal, the shavius is zero because the Jew is not allowed to sell it. So how can you be chayiv dalvehe? Or in the worst case scenario, you're chayiv dalvehe times zero. So the Gemara says like this, no, it is a value. You know what is value? Because it's a case where you stole it from the shomer, and then you slaughter it, or let's say he slaughters it. So why is he chayiv to pay? Because if the shomer had taken the object and he had given it back to the bailim, he would have been patur from a shmirah. And the assumption is that the shor was convicted, damaged when it was under the guidance, under the shmirah of the shomer, and therefore the shomer is chayiv. He's a mazik. And therefore, he's chayiv to pay. But if he returns the animal before Beis Din kills it to the original bailim, he can say, Areishol chalafanecha. Okay, he can say, Areishol chalafanecha. Now, the Gemara says that this principle, it relies upon A, the shita of Rabbi Yaakov, that you can say, Areishol chalafanecha b'isurei hana, and B, upon the position of Rabbi Shimon, but the guy wasn't actually masik property. He was masik something that was worth nothing, right? Because the shor's value is zero. The answer is no, because it's goyim lamamon. Because the fact that the shomer could have returned it, and therefore by slaughtering the shor where the shomer can no longer return it, you're goyim that the shomer cannot return it anymore. So that's as if that was the value to the shomer. In other words, been the full value of the shor, and that's why you have to pay in such a case. So it sounds pretty clear from that particular Gemara that the only time you can say Areishol chalafanecha is when it's be'en. And precisely because the ganav stole it and slaughtered it, the shomer can no longer go to the original bailam and say, Areishol chalafanecha, here is your shor, and so, because it's not be'en anymore, and therefore he'd be chayiv to pay. So he says, you see both sides.
It's a good deal for the Baal.
What's that?
According
to Rabbi, and this Rabbi Meir, right? We don't paskin that way, probably. We don't paskin davar gadol mamre kamam adami. Yeah, but anyway, yes, it'd be a good deal for the Baal. He ends up, I mean, the truth is very reasonable. For the natural course of things, the Shomer won't even get the chance to return it to him because Beis Din will have seized it and they should slaughter it. But sometimes the Shomer would have, you know, would have to pay because he never returned it. Ami?
I mean, why did the
maybe he does pay to the shomer, I'm not sure. You might be correct. It's irrelevant for our purposes now. We'll get a chance to explore that. You may be right, you may pay to the shomer.
Wouldn't that depend on whether or not the shomer paid the Baal before the shor yet?
No, because if the shomer is willing to pay, you don't have to actually pay.
Right, meaning if he didn't take a
shor. Right, well, in this case, right, we're assuming that he can't, but in this case he probably can't take a shor. Because it's pretty clear what happened. It's been Huad Beis Din already. So he can't swear I wasn't Poshea with the animal because Beis Din already convicted him of being Poshea with the animal. No, but the person who's being Kona is not being Kona. No. The issue. Oh.
Because otherwise he could have returned the animal.
Oh, could he swear? Okay, fine. Right. So let's assume, good. Let's assume he didn't take a shvua and he's expressed the willingness to pay. Okay. Continue. Same rule will apply by Yukav Israel. The Hachi Tanan the Kam on. Mechutz mi shavah pruta bekeren. It's probably shebekeren. What does Terech Lech Achara mean? So I said to someone, doesn't have to go to Tehran. It doesn't have to go. The rule is that if you owe a pruta or more is worth, Yolichenu Acharav Afilu Lamadai. I don't know who the Medes are exactly. I don't know where. What's the name of the country, Madai, in English?
Media.
Is it Media?
Yeah.
You sure? I didn't know. I never wanted to say that. What?
Medea
with EA, EA,
yeah, and it's actually
Medea, okay. Isn't there an important Greek figure, Medea?
Yeah, it's a myth about the woman who with a whole lot of
Yeah, yeah, okay. I remember a little poetry I had to memorize in Greek at the CUNY program had Medea in it somehow. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so the Gemara Mishnah says, Yolichena achav afilu lemadai. That's pretty far. So that's what it means here. So if he's mochal al chutz mi pach chutz mi pach shubh shaker, in tzorech achav. Amri aloha.
Amar
rabba gazashos
agudot b'shalash pritot. Yuzlu v'amdu ashtayim.
Okay, so that's the Gemara we mentioned before, that it would have made more sense instead of chayav l'achzer lo ha'achas. So if I steal, what's the deal? I steal three bunches, and each one is worth a pruta, and then by the time I'm getting ready to return it, each one is worth two-thirds of a pruta, combined two prutas, six-thirds. Now, if I paid back two of the things, and I haven't paid back one, so how much valuation, how much is the last one that I haven't paid back but need to pay back worth? Two-thirds. So what's the din? What's the din? You have to return Lishelektosis the one. And what if you don't have that anymore? What do you have to do?
Doesn't say,
but it's understood. If you chayav l'hachzalachas, what do you have to do if you don't have the one?
Pay.
And how much do you pay?
That's
the
maker.
What's
the maker?
Only if you owe a pruta more, you have to give go file.
What do you mean it's not clear? Right. What do you mean? Then why, if you don't have to, if this is the only thing you have to give back if you have it, but if you don't have it, you don't have to pay more. Why would Rava say that yolichenu achav afilu lemadai?
It's only for a pruta more.
Right, and it's only worth 2/3.
So you don't have to pay.
No, but he says you do.
Why?
You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Why does Rava say you have to pay back? You either pay back the bundle or you pay back a pruta. Why? It's pashut. Kol hagazlan mishalman kishasa gzela. I know that if it's the same, then it's the same. But right, the point is, if you don't pay back the be'en, you have to pay back what you stole, and it's precisely that reason. That's the reason why. That's the only reason why it's ma'akev the carbon, is because the original value of what you stole is worth a pruta. So you have a pruta of debt hanging over your head. You can sometimes cancel the debt. If you have the original aguda, even though it's only worth 2/3, sometimes you can cancel the pruta debt with 2/3 of a pruta. But until you give back that aguda, there's still a pruta outstanding against you, the original gzela.
What I'm saying is that it's not spelled out, and that's why the Tosfos Rebbe could say what he says afterward about this case.
Well, let's see what he says. Now, I'm not so, you're talking about gzela kan en kan hashav en kan?
This case specifically, where he says if it's not there, he doesn't have to pay the
income. Oh, correct. Yes. Thank you. That's correct. In other words, you could have had a half, I mean.
Yeah, right.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Right. Matana tuna. Fine. Now, what did he say? So that's just the Gemara. So the Gemara's logic is that since it was worth originally a Shava Pruta, when you stole it, there's a Chiyav of Hashava. Okay, now, again, he says, right now he may think the Chiyav Hashava is just returning the object, even though the object itself is now worth less than 2/3 of Pruta. Because this object, when you stole it, was worth a pruta or more, you must return it. It's ma'akev the carbon. Because safti alav,
safti alav madura tanina,
tinyana,
yiveta lehai aguda, ino shalem bo pruta kishav yamikar.
Which mahadura is this, by the way, that Tosfos read? At least the third. Right? He already has made reference to a madura kama, a madura tinyana.
When the third edition came out, or is he just saying, you know, I originally thought, and then I thought, and now I think?
Did you deliberately omit the middle position?
No, I said written but not in
circulation. Avadai, in other words,
Then why would he make?
You wouldn't have to reference it.
Right. Meaning, why would he say in the second edition.
As you know, I wrote earlier.
You
didn't know that. I never published it. Never was in circulation. I thought it in my brain. I wrote it in my notebook.
You don't write, you know, in my first draft, you know, I did that.
No, I understand that. What?
I think the R TC or the R reports that say in my first.
Yeah, but you don't. Right, but you don't write in the first edition, the second edition, unless it's in circulation. So I guess I have to make.
I mean,
that's the way you look at it now.
But I'm not sure. It's interesting. One model I can think of is the Rambam, Perush HaMishnayos, which sometimes, most of the time, when you find variance in the, you know, the standard Hebrew translation, it's because the Hebrew translators didn't know Arabic very well. There are times, however, and you'll see Rav Kapach, a lot of his footnotes. There are times, however, where the standard printing in the back of the Vilna Shas was based upon a text that the Rambam had written but changed his mind later. Now, when you go through a Kapach thing, and he'll point out, you go back to the autograph of the Rambam, we have most of it. We have a good portion, probably have between 4 and 5 starim of the Rambam's personal copy of the Mishnah with his Perush that he wrote, the original. And in it, you can sometimes see his, Kapach point out, you can see he erased. And you can sometimes see both what he wrote originally and what he wrote on top of it. And actually, at least 3 maduras, in effect. There are 3... and he may even use that term, madura kama. Now, the Rambam's, there were... And what did happen is sometimes there were some editions of the Rambam or some editions that were copied out of the Rambam before the final set of corrections. So they, you know, it creates a very strange situation where you can talk about 2 Ur texts. 2 Vorlages, and a certain Vorlage is not only for translation, but you have 2 Ur texts, right? Because you have Rambam wrote both. And the question is when it was copied from the Rambam. This is the manuscript now. The manuscript, some of them, I don't know if it's split, the Sassoon family owned. And some of them have a British Museum number. I'm not sure what the story is of where the manuscript actually is now. But we don't have for Taros, and we're missing parts of other Siddharm. You know, we don't have all of it. The beginning of Bava Kamma is missing until Chaim told Perek what?
I don't think I got it.
Or is it only there at the beginning? Or you didn't finish? Yitzi? Where does will the Rambam exist on Bava Kamma, a Perush HaMishnayos? Which part has the Rambam Perush HaMishnayos?
I think it had the about not the very beginning and not the very end. But
just the middle. No, okay.
One of the manuscripts of his was the Rambam's own handwriting?
Yeah, well, you may not have had any on it, but the autograph of the Rambam. So anyway, I don't know. Shlomo, I think Eyal's point is what in order. I don't know. There are 3 possibilities, and I don't know. I don't know which of them is correct. I tend to hear your point that it would make more sense if he had let it out. Now he needs to correct it to let you know that he's changed his mind as opposed to.
That was
Sassoon? Yes. Okay, that's Sassoon, yes. Okay, so it's on the end of Bava Kamma. The parts, it's the beginning of Kiddushin, the end of Kiddushin after the first half of the first parak is missing. Right, Eyal, I think you dealt with that. And then towards the latter part of Bava Kamma is missing. The folios must just be missing from the manuscript. Okay, so anyway, go ahead. Because people had manuscripts and they sold them. No, people did sell. I mean, look, the truth is we may and not like the Vatican very much, you know, for all the Jewish manuscripts they're holding and not letting out, but the truth is many of them may be legitimately owned. I mean, just because they killed, murdered, raped, and pillaged from Jews throughout the centuries doesn't mean everything of theirs is illicitly owned. Yeah, but the Leningrad collection was not stolen at all.
Right.
The Karaite, Firkovich. Firkovich was a Karaite. He traveled. That's how the Ksaviad Leningrad got there.
There's new stuff being released here. There are new Rishonim that are being released.
Right, but that's not necessarily stolen. Not that the Russians also didn't murder, pillage, rape, and do all sorts of things to Jews over. You know, the centuries, but some of those are legitimately owned. I mean, I know the Firkovich collection certainly is. He gave it to the Leningrad or St. Petersburg Museum. Continue. Yeah, lo mishtakach le mizban. And this is a really slippery line here. What does he say? You know, why does he think, but chametz shavala pesach? How can you say that you just give him another aguda, whereas by chametz shavala pesach? Well, what does he say, Alf? Wait.
Because chametz shavala pesach, there's no way that you could replace the money with something that's similar to the chametz, and give the chametz now back to the
bottom. Right, you can't buy chametz shavala pesach. You could buy another aguda. Yeah. I'm sorry. Not the heter.
In fact, sometimes we have a problem that we have to avoid buying chametz shavala
pesach.
But it's unfortunate.
Okay.
You can't buy chametz. Doesn't matter that it was a barla of pesach.
Why can't you buy chametz?
Not with that amount of, because it's zero money. You can't switch zero the amount it's worth for.
No, but the point is, why? Let's say I can find chametz shavala pesach. However, I get my hands on it, right? In other words, the point is, you can't buy chametz shavala pesach to replace, and I'll give you chametz instead of chametz. Whereas you can find an aguda. You can buy an aguda for 2/3 of a pruta. Go into the store and say, I'll pay you 2/3 of a pruta. Can I have a aguda? And the answer is yes. So one of them you can't really find. So the only way you could possibly replace it is by placing chametz that's edible, and that's full value in effect. So then I don't want to belabor this part. I mean, it's interesting, but so he says that's ridiculous. You notice, by the way, his brutal honesty. You know, I think the Meiri has a comment. Somebody has a comment. The Komach Lokas. No, this is it is the Meiri's comment, but there's a general interpretation. Komach Lokas Shi L'Shem Shemayim. So for the Skayim, in the Mishnah in Avos, that a machlok shel Hashem Shemayim was a person who has an interest in nitzuach. He simply wants to win the argument, and therefore, even when he starts to see the cracks in his own position, he digs in and will defend it at all costs. But the person, is the person who, when he sees what's wrong with his own argument, he simply retracts. You know, Nechemiah Masoni, Kashem Shekibat Tishchalad Vishakach Kibat Kacha Kabas Chalad Prisha. Well, that's what happens here. You know, the Rid says, I wrote these things and they're ridiculous. Holds it in an early call. It's completely wrong. And he's extremely honest. And that's when a person has a Sofalus Kaya means they will in the end survive. There's another, of course, the other version of the drusha on the Mishnah is any machlokas, which is Lashem Shemayim, is never going to end because each one claims he's doing in God's name. Right, so full of sky. It's true. That's a true too, but even that's probably not what the Mishnah meant. I don't know who I heard that from. But anyway, so he says a chol zeinu nirli klal she'im kein. I'm sorry.
It's on the video screen, everywhere you walk it.
Like they're random.
Oh,
so one of the quotes is, any argument for the sake of heaven.
Is that related to the picture?
No.
It's not so
probably not.
I think it's just this is why you basketball players really short shorts, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It really doesn't make any sense.
A lot of hair.
Okay. Anyway, continue. Hey, Al, go ahead.
So that's the first question.
In other words, then it's not a pruta. It's only two-thirds of a pruta. And the issue, the concern of Shema Tiyaker, it's not our issue. The Gemara just says, there's two lashonos. If I steal, let's say, I owe less than a shavar pruta's worth of the Karen, so there are two lashonos from a papa. Everybody agrees that if the object that I stole is no longer extant, so then there's no problem that you can bring the carbon. But the concern is, let's say the object is extant. Let's say I stole four marbles from you, each is worth a pruta. And now marbles sell at, you know, five. The three marbles. I got it backwards. Now you can buy five marbles for a pruta, right?
Yeah.
So now the one pruta I sold... five marbles for four prutas. So now the one marble I sold is really only, 4/5 of a pruta. The one marble that's remaining that I haven't returned. So the concern is that if I don't pay back the marble, well, maybe the marble will turn around and appreciate in value, and once again will be worth a pruta before I bring the carbon and I won't realize it. That's cheshin and shemat yakir. It will become valuable again. So the tulashonas are puffed with a choshesh for that. If the marble was destroyed, then. And if you assume that the value that I would have to pay, if you assume the mar I have to pay, would be the current worth, not when I destroyed it, not when I actually stole it, so then I'd owe only 4/5 of a pruta, and that there's no concern. Shema Tiyaker, 4/5 of pruta, prutos don't become more valuable, in principle, they don't become more valuable. Money doesn't become more valuable. So, correct.
Continue.
So again, if you want to say that the reason why you have to return it, even though it's not worth a zuz, but because when it was worth a zuz, when you stole it, and you have to do it, and you have to do a mitzvah hashava. So
in Cain, Shita Le Hashta the Apagapti Gazwa
in Khan Twata. Is that what he has on the printed text?
No, but that has to be.
I don't think so. Give me a second, but I think I figured out how you translate it. Some of you discussed this with me, and because it comes up more than once,
it works out perfectly in Tishkan.
No, 1 second. No, 1 second. Hold on. It's not in this Gemara. 1 second.
Just read it in instead of
ish. No. I'd figured out earlier how you read this. It's reading the whole section is difficult. But we have a little time, so we have to. Because we don't change text without some basis for it.
There's no basis for this here. The basis for that.
The basis is that you don't understand what he's driving at.
No, is that it makes everything.
That's not the basis on which we make textual emendations.
He's already admitting that some of the things that he says don't make sense, so you would think that he would be very careful with what he writes down.
I didn't hear it, so I didn't know what you said. I'm trying to concentrate. I probably wish I did hear it, but you just wait. Someone will tell me later what you said. The Gemara does have Gemara has both lines. I don't want to get, for now I'm going to put it aside. Yes, the Gemara, you look in the Gemara there, both. It has both ways. But I don't think he made the same, I don't think the mistake happened twice. I want to go on to the end, so I'm not going to deal with this at the moment. I think this is the correct Gersa, by the way. Let's move on for the moment. I could take a 10-minute break, probably figure it out, but then I would shoot Shlomo with his question. So the question is, would he get enough hana of seeing you proved wrong? Would that outweigh the hana of the 15 minutes of questions? I don't know.
Can we go an extra
15 minutes? No. I'm going to take 5. Go back to the Gemara for a second. Go to Kofei Amid Aleph. Go to Kofei. The next question was as follows: Boy Rava gazal shtei agudas bepruta, vehechsilo achas mehen. Okay, if you steal 2 agudas worth of pruta, and then you return one of them, which means right now you have a half a pruta that you stole that you didn't return. Mi amrinan hashta lekegzdeila. Do you say that right now there is no gzeila of a pruta in his possession? Or, O Dilma, halo hadar gzeila dahavai gabe. Or you could say that he never returned the gzeila he had. Now, what does that mean? It means he never did a hashava. I think Rava would never have asked this question if if you had stolen 3. Let's say he'd stolen 4, and you returned 3, he wouldn't have a question. Right, because you would have returned more than a pruta's worth, a pruta's worth or more, and you would have less than a pruta still in your possession. Because you only returned half a pruta, you haven't done hashava either. So that was his question. Hadar pashta gzela einkan and hashava einkan. Which I take it to mean, at first glance, that since there's no gzela. What? One second, let's finish reading the Gemara. I'm glad you agree with me, but I'm not sure yet. So he says, Gzeila einkan and hashava einkan. So what does that mean? So the Gemara's response is, Hachi kama afa pisha gzeila einkan, mitzvah hashava einkan. How does that... Now, what is the Gemara's hesber? That it sounds to me, Rashi doesn't say a single word on here. What's wrong? Yitosis does say. I can't be sure what Tosfos means. It sounds to me, mitzvah hashava einkan, and therefore it's no good. That's what I think it means. So the way the Gemara understand, the Gemara's kasha was, gzeila einkan, igzeila einkan, hashava yishkan. If he doesn't still have the gzeila, then obviously he fulfilled hashava. As igzeila einkan, hashava yishkan. So he's done a return. So the Gemara says, "Hachigam afal pisha gzeila." Even though there's no gzeila left in his hands, mitzvah hashava einkan. He hasn't done a mitzvah hashava. That's what I think the Gemara means. David.
You don't have the chiyuv for gzeila for something less than shavah pruta. Nevertheless, shavah aveda does apply for something less than shavah pruta.
No. I don't think nobody's gonna say it. Nobody says that you steal less than a pruta, you have to pay back. A mitzvah hashavah. It might be the moral thing to do, but it's...
No one's saying if you steal it, you have to return it because you're chiyuv for gzeila.
Right.
But if I know that this is your marble,
and I know that it's worth less than Shiva Prutha, do I not have the
So that's a different story, but let's say it was destroyed. What? Okay. So you've driven him to that point, starting himself already, okay. No, so I agree, but let's say the marble was destroyed. So, Rav, the point would now be in order that you have to return, you might have to return half a pruta in order to have considered having, assuming there's no devaluation. And Ari Gemara, the Tosis says to ignore some gears that it mentions that. The point is you would have to return a pruta's worth of material in order to fulfill mitzvah hashava. So if you lost the marble, Rava would say that if you don't pay back Hatzi Pruta, then you haven't done Hashava. So even though Gzela Inkan, Hashava Inkan. Okay.
So
agreed?
It's based completely on the amount that you give back. So you could do Mitzvah Hashava on less than the full amount that you've stolen.
As long as you've given back a Pruta and there's less than a Pruta outstanding.
And there's less than. So that it's also Mitzvah Hashava that there's less than a Pruta outstanding? Well, or that means that you stole Gzela.
No. The point is, if there's less than
if you
a pruta
stole five
or
and
more,
a pruta, and you gave back one, did you fulfill mitzvah hashava?
If you stole five, then you
stole one. Each one's a pruta, no change in price, but you gave back one, so you filled
hashava,
and you still have Gzela.
No, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah hashava. You haven't fulfilled mitzvah hashava. Mitzvah hashava means you give back kesef, and you don't withhold. And you don't have in your possession less than a pruto more's worth. That appears to be the way the Gemara reads. If I'm reading Tosis correctly, I'll make galachas. So again, the Rid says, see, let me take 10 minutes. The Iika. So again, go back and read this portion again. Let's say, where does that? Iyamir's time of the mill said, Afagav the Hashtalo Shavia Zuza, Kavan the Bishas Gezela, have a Shavia Zuza, Vinishayev la Hashiva, Ainlo Takana, Achi Kai Mitzis Hashava. If you say, so Im came Pshitale Hashta, the Afagav the Gzela Enkan, even though he's no longer holding in his possession, that's still Mitzis Hashava Enkan. The Hilkach Tzarech Lachzei, Ramai Hada Tuboy, Hasam Gazer Shteigut Sprut of Echselachas Mehen, Mahu, Miyamin Hashtra Laka Gzeila Gabe Odom Halo Ahad Gzeila Dahabe Gabe. Okay, so fine. Umasik, Basta Dabar Hada Pashta, Afo Pishu Gzeila Inkan, Mitzvah Shara Inkan, right. That's the proof that it's the correct Gersa, because that is the Maskana of the Gemara. Okay. Afo Gav,
Hello. So
right, it's the same issue. If he knew the din already, Elalav.
Elalav shmami na tamar dekdamita late elamishum deim lo yachzir lo ta'ar gudah atzma chayav liten lo pruta ve no yachul yiftor atzma by gudah chayav liten lo pruta ve no yachul yiftor atzma by gudah chayav liten lo pruta ve no yachul yiftor atzma by gudah chayav liten lo pruta ve no yachul yiftor.
You can see, by the way, from his response at the end, it makes the question clearer. So let me just sort of spell that out quickly. If he's right that you could pay back any aguda to fill it in, then how much are you really paying back? Pachas mishava pruta. And if the maskana is that was necessary, so then why the second shaila? Why the second shaila? Where in that case again you stole less than shava pruta, the original it was worth less pruta, but the question is in other words you see from the first case that mitzvah hashava yeshkan even by less than a shava pruta. So what's the shaila by the second part?
But if you gave back the original item, then you could be fulfilled.
Right, but you see what you see from this whole discussion is that returning the original item is like restoring things to a previous time. Because you can't, in other words, if you're chayv to pay back a pruta or this aguda, the one you stole, so in effect, I mean, we haven't said it like this, but in effect, haresh shechalafanecha is in some ways undoing the original gzela. It's going back in time. Whereas if you can't do that, you simply have to pay the value. And that value is of an earlier time. Yehuda?
So many practical things that can come up. I don't know, say the guy who's planning on selling it.
Yeah.
Why should that change anything? The fact that you actually have the original, I still don't understand.
Because that would only be Grandma Bin Yizelkin, apparently. You prevented him. The reason why he's Huzak is because he's prevented. He's prevented from selling it at a good time. So that's it. In effect, according to the Shita, again, we've said this. You can argue both sides. It's a Grama Bin Nizakin. Ben.
That's why this question is really important, because if he had three bundles, and then he gave back two, but he didn't give back the third. Mm-hmm. So even if he gave back the third in a different bundle or in kesef, and it's only two thirds of a pruta, it's mitzvah to the other two that he already gave back, because we say that the mitzvah of gezel, the definition of gezel in his possession, and the mitzvah of hashava is based on the entirety of what he stole. So it doesn't matter what he gives back, because he's already given back at least one pruta's worth of material. So as long as he's not left with any pruta's worth, why should it matter what he gives back, unless it really is based on whatever he's giving now?
You're saying the opposite of what I said.
Yeah, because I have a question.
No. Forget what you're talking about, being mitzarefit to what he paid back already. But I don't know why.
Because he has to fulfill mitzvah hashava on the entirety of what he stole.
Yeah, but the fact that he can give the original object back, even though it's worth less than a pruta now, is only because he's going back in time. If he can't give the original object back, he's got to give a pruta's worth.
But
it's
why?
Not a question of tzirif to whatever else is. I'll tell you why.
Only because he has to pay back kishas.
I mean, look, give me the following case. If you want to say, why doesn't he just pay back any aguda, and then?
That's what we.
And then at this point,
one second.
So you could ask the following question: Why can't he just pay back a different aguda, and then how much will be outstanding? A third of a pruta. And it'll be less than a...
But the two-thirds of a pruta that he has now is already less than a pruta.
No, but you see, the point is that what he owes is a pruta. So if he goes and buys an aguda from the shuk, and he pays with that, it should still work. Right. It's not a lechatchil, because you should pay back everything you stole. Right? But at the end of the day, there'll be only a third of a pruta of the original left out. Right? Because you owe pruta if you're not giving back the ben. So if you give back an aguda, there'll be only a one-third of a pruta. It's interesting. But there is the point, there's a chiv hashava. David?
Why would it matter if he gives back a partial fruit then? You think there's nothing in there?
Well, that's the question that Ben is raising, which is that if I pay back partially and only a certain amount left to pay back, is the hashava mitzdarif or not? That may be, you know, what you're saying may be correct. Ben assumes it is, but it may not be so. And if it's not so, then he explains why you need to pay a pruta shalim.
I was assuming because that's what we said is the pshat in the Gemara earlier about the mitzvah hashava. If they're not connected, then
right?
Maybe
no. But but then my point was that I think when you return the original chayfetz, you're not. It's not a din of tashlumin.
Right. So not the original chayfetz. If he returns an alternate one.
But so then it means then you know the pashas you're not allowed to. The Rishonim say in the mitzvah.
Right. But the Reed's asking why.
No, so he says because
he
what
has
you
to figure it out.
No, he says because what you owe is a pruta, not two thirds of a pruta, and the only way you can avoid paying a full pruta's worth is if you return the original object, which is a different form. And I would say here's a way of distinguishing between tashlumin. In other words, we'll ask why is that good if it's worth less than a pruta now? How is that hashava? The answer is because there's a difference between achzar, you know, a ke'en shegazal and tashlumin. Tashlumin must be a shava pruta, ke'en shegazal is whatever you stole. For the same reason why, David, I think it's correct, if you steal less than a pruta's worth of the en, I assume you have to give it back, midin ke'en shegazal, even though midin tashlumin yupater. That question, I'm sure, must be discussed somewhere in the Acharonim. What if you steal less than a shava pruta, but the object is extant still, and the object still extant still, do you have to give it back? Just mitzad ownership. I don't know. I'm not sure what the din is. Right, we normally you don't have to pay back pasuk shabuta, but I presume it means you ate it, right? You know the classic story by the Mabul, right, where each one would come and steal less than a shabuta. That's somebody very clever guy in the base manager came up with that measure. You all know that, right? That's how Malaretz Hamas the Medrash says that what they would each go do is they would, you know, if someone had like a whole pile of whatever, each one would steal one grain, so nobody was stealing a shabuta's worth. Of course, obviously, they didn't learn the din of the Ben Noach Eschayev even on less than a Shavuot. But okay. But that's only if you hold that a Ben Noach Eschayev. What?
They wanted to
Orm Ben Noah.
Clever. But of course, that would depend.
Really that would
depend on whether or not. You hold like Rabbi Yosef, or like the way we do, whether or not Ben Noach is chayav on all seven mitzvahs misa, or only on those that Yisrael is chayav on, because if you hold like Rabbi Yosef, I think says that it's only on those Yisrael is chayav on. So once again, the only chiyuv by Ganeva is paying back. So Mamela, it's usher for. I mean, then there's no difference between a Jew and a guy by pachas mishav pruta, because it's both. It's usher to steal, and there's no mitzvah hashava.
And really, the Ben Noach is only because of the addition of the seventh, but there were six from Adam in the Vikol Yitzhagan.
I lost you there.
They only get Noach only gets one new mitzvah, which is about the blood.
Ah, okay.
But he already has six
fine,
from Adam.
Fine, okay. You're retiring to Ami's klatz kasha, okay? To my klatz comments. Fine. Anyway, so that said, im ein abein.
What?
Okay, I'm sorry. Wherever you are, Gav. Really, if I were cruel, I would say I'll stop for questions now, and those of you who don't get the Tosas Rid, you'll have to wait till after Yantav. Keep your suspense. What? However, I'm not going to do that. So now the Rid really gets part down to the part that's the Iker for our Gemara, and he says, I'll take over here. Y'all well read. Just for speed purposes. So this is the question of Tosus. What do you need Rav's statement for if where he says better, why do you need the Pasuk? And I would have said the Pasuk is the Makar. Venire li lomar. You don't want to race with me, Daniel. Venire li lomar de balkar hachlo asarav lashmini alafagav dehi be'en de mishalim keren kein shagana vekefa omlachar shalchanecha. Vim tavach umachar mishalim agneva kedahashta mishim dahashta keshahuz la tavach venimsa sheish homer begneva midigzela. She'ilu begzela im hu be'en omelari la shalchanecha. U begneva afagav dehu be'en amrinan achi le keren kein shagana kedachsavis bimadura kama. Okay, you pay kein shagana even when the object is extant. If I steal your cow and cows depreciate, and I'm coming to return your cow, Rav says, you pay like the original value. And that's a stunning statement. You can't say reisha chalafanecha. That's absolutely stunning. And Rav has gone way beyond anything the Mishnah ever said. Now it's an interesting piece to talk about. This, I think, plays very nicely into the question of Tashlumin versus Kain Shagazal, right? The whole din of Kain Shagazal is only a din by Gzela, that's the Makar. By Gneva, the Torah says Shnayim Yishalem. So if you put Shnayim Yishalem plus Achi in the Keren Kain Shaganav, it means that you pay Keren and Kefel very differently than you pay the Keren of Gzela. You might even say the following Al Regalach, which is, what is the basis? We point out, why is it that you have to return the gazelle, if the object is still extant, not because there is ownership on the object, but because there's a mitzvah sasei of a shivas hagzelah shel gazelle. But by geneva, it would seem that shnayim yishalem, really in principle, you have to pay two. It's just that the owner still has a tefiyah on the object because it's still his, because there's no shini, because there's no yeish plus whatever, and so on and so forth. But here you have a very significant difference between geneva and gazelah. Well, but he's asking the same thing. He asked why the drasha. Why it's the same thing, really. He's not asking. He's asking on Rav's drasha. Both. He doesn't ask it directly in the same way. Yeah. But you know, when he said why the drasha of Achi and Shaganav, it's why did Rav make the drasha? I mean, it's not such a thing. He doesn't formulate it the same way, but it's in substance the same question. It seems to be a beferusha tosefta in Yerushalmi. that by Genev is different than Zeilin. You can't get away with Harishal Chalafanecha. So if you're going to want to steal somebody's chametz before Pesach to torture them, make sure they know you're stealing it. So you're a gazlan, not be a ganav. Because if you're a ganav, you won't be able to say Harishal Chalafanecha. And once you have the mitzvah, in other words, the mitzvah in effect paters you from the deduction of tashlumen. In other words, one is a lava. Let me say it this way: gzela is a lava nita klase, and when you do the assay, you in effect whitewash the lav. Geneva, there's no din of a lava nita klase; it's just a chiv of tashlumen, and it's not called tashlumen unless it's achiv the keren kain shiganav. It's not called tash because it's Geneva v'chayim shnayim yishalem. So the definition of tashlumen by Geneva is achim lekeren kein shagana. The kefil could be kedahashta, but the keren has to be the keren of shnayim yishalem has to be achim lekeren kein shagana.
Even the thing that's there now that you stole is not
shagana. Because you have to be mechayit, right? It's still there. If you didn't sell it or slaughter it, that was for the reb second ago. Now the object is still extant, right? Geneva chayim. You've got to make sure it's worth what it was before. I mean, it's an astounding what the Rid said. And Yushalmi does sound like that. Okay. He concludes with a discussion of the question of how do you treat the kefil. It's a very strange discussion. The simple explanation is this, the second Lashon, in which he claims, I'll read it quickly. Why does he pay later if he steals and slaughters or sells? He makes an incredible claim, and this is very difficult. It's difficult in the Gemara, and it's difficult in Svara. He claims that that the only time you pay kefel kishasa madabedin is when it's still be'en. Then you pay keren kishasa geneva, and you pay kefel kishasa madabedin. But if you steal and slaughter it, he claims that the kefel goes back to the keren. Now, this formulation seems to be one to some extent that when you pay dalad v'hei, you're really paying kefel. Plus gimel, plus bezu gimel, and now that still doesn't compel you to say this. But he claims the kefil really is inherently tied to the geneva. The dal vehe is tied. The bezu gimel is tied to the shechit itself. But the problem is, it's strained in the words of the Gemara. Rav says keren kein shaganav kefil v'tashlumei dal vehe kishas amad abedin, and you really have to put like a big slash in between kefil and dal vehe, because the kefil, it's haki de isa, the haki de isa, as the Gemara would say, that kefil is one mitzias, and dal vehe is a different mitzias. The kefil that you pay kishas amad abedin in the first lashon is only if you didn't tavach umachar. But if you did do tavachu machar, so then tavachu machar is kishas amad abedin, but the kefil gets thrown backwards. Because the mechayiv of the geneva is the mechayiv of the kefil is the geneva. So that was his original question. Why should it be a difference? He doesn't really spell it out, but he says, "V'tashlumei kefil ki isa be'ena v'tashlumei dal v'hei im tavach ki dahashta v'al kefil ki tavach ki demikar mishalim de basar geneva aslinim lo basar tvicha." He doesn't really explain. He doesn't explain why when it comes to kefil. He doesn't spell out why when it comes to kefil, when it's a standalone, why you can pay ki dahashta. And again, kefil kedahashta is really harishal chalafanecha. He would say the following. Logically speaking, when you have to pay the keren, you really should pay kedahashta. You say harishal chalafanecha. But there's a gzeiras hakasav achi lekeren kein shagana, that you can't get away with harishal chalafanecha. That there's a din of tashlumen. And tashlumen here is tarti mashra. It means to fill in the depreciation. But that gzeiras hakasav achi lekeren kein shagana only applies to the keren itself. Now, of course, it doesn't really explain though why when you turn around, when you actually shecht it and sell it, so why also don't you say there that the kefil goes kedahashta? Because after all, because it's not ben. No, that's why, because it's not ben anymore. One, in other words, kefil, this is the best way of saying the rid, is that the kefil for the rid has the din of hareshal chafanecha just like the keren of the gzela. So when it's be'en, you can return it as the kefil. When it's not be'en, so then then you have to pay, like by a gazlan, you have to pay the keren kishasha gazal. And that's why in that case, the kefil will go basar the keren. Now, it's very clever, but it's a little bit stretched, which is why he then continues, he says, inami yishlomar d'cheva de'idlo hava be'en. Have a mifter be kefil, ke dehashta, ki tabach nami ke dehashta mishalim kefil. Vol dami le keren d'gzeh le chsib be'asher gazal, de be'inan kein she gazal. Avol be kefil de lo ksiv krahachi. In other words, all the Torah says is achi le keren kein she ganav. So kevin de isa miftar ba ki tabach nami ki hashta mishal. So he has these two lashonas. I'm not gonna beat the last part to death, but it's sufficient. I think it's easier to formulate his first lashon as simply that kefel has the same kefel of geneva has the same din as keren of gezela, but keren of geneva, and this is true for both lashonas, keren of geneva always must be achin the keren kein shaganav. You can never pay back by a geneva something that's worth less than what you stole. And even if it's the exact same object that you stole, and it's just that the market price has gone down, you're obligated to pay the difference. That by Geneva, as opposed to by Gazela. Okay. Why? He doesn't say. I mean, we explain, but a possibility. What's the inherent logic behind it? I don't know. Okay. Any questions? About that. No. Ask it.
He could easily just say that the Karen is like the Karen of Gazela.
Can someone answer that question? He says, why didn't he just equally say that the Karen is Karen Shagaza? You see? What? That, I don't think in itself is compelling. Go back to the original question of the Rid. The Mashmaos of the Gemara is that Rav's Chiddush is what? No, that's not the Mashmaos of the Gemara. That's
because
they asked
where is it from.
Yeah, right, and the Makor seems to point in that direction. So to say that the Keren goes like the Keren and it's applying to Gefil is not the Mashmaos of the Gemara. And it's not the Mashmaos of the Drasha.
Say that
it's not the Mashmaos of the Drasha. You want to say that. No, the Karen has the din Kain Shegazal, and what and.
Kain Sheganav, but if it's there, you say Harishal Chalapana.
No, but then what would Rav's Chiddush be? You wouldn't have answered his question.
That you pay if it's not there, you pay according to.
But that's the din by Gezel also. Has he got that? That's why I never lose.
That's not the Tosfos Reads question.
His question is.
Oh,
yeah, he gets to the same question. That's the part should not get lost in here. It's the same question as all other Rishonim have. There would be no difference once again between. Okay, I'll take, let's say, 6 minutes worth of questions, 7 minutes maybe. Shlomo, do you have a question you want to ask?
Yeah.